That's your friend John Walden. We're going to have a little Bible study now about a question that's in the minds of a good many. Why so many divorces? The divorce evil has become a terrible thing in our country and, in fact, all over the world. And this is not God's way. Matthew chapter 19, the people ask him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain or two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Now God's plan for mankind, of course, was good. Everything God did was good. God said it is not good for man to be alone, and so he made an help meet for him. He intended that each man should have one wife, and that their marriage should be for life. But polygamy and all sorts of evils came in to spoil the plan of God. This, of course, came in because of the hardness of your heart, as he said to these people, because of the sinfulness of the human race and our departure from the plan that God had for us. A great many things have happened, and among these, the breakup of the home. Now, he said it's because of the hardness of your heart. The human heart is inherently selfish. We might as well admit it. And that's the cause of a great deal of difficulty. Many marriages break up because the people expected to receive rather than to give. They were disappointed. Some of them were disappointed in their income. You'd be surprised what a big part money or the lack of it plays in the happiness of a home. And this is wrong. Money isn't necessary to happiness. But it becomes necessary when we want to keep up with the Joneses or keep ahead of the Joneses. We can't live within our income. Selfishness may show itself in another way. I don't want to offend anyone, but you must know, if you look about you, that marriage is not built on a good foundation in most cases when it's built purely on the basis of physical attraction. Lust and not love. They tell us that in the language in which our New Testament was written, the Greek language, there were three words for love. The highest of these was the word used to describe God's kind of love, a love that gives without any expectation of return. Then there was another kind, which is often used of the affection of one person for another. It's a word that stands for fondness. It's a reciprocal kind of love. It isn't as high as the other, but it is the kind usually seen in human beings, human love. Then there's a third word, which never occurs in the New Testament, but the Greeks used it a great deal. They had a word for mere sexual attraction. Now, according to Hollywood, this is love. According to the Bible, it doesn't even deserve a place in Scripture and is not mentioned at all. Not that there's anything wrong with sex or with a marriage relationship. These things were God-given. But they're given distinctly a secondary place. They must not be the main purpose. They must not be the main interest. Another reason for all of this difficulty is the ignoring of the will of God. You see, marriages are not entered into in the fear of the Lord and with prayer for His guidance and so on. Most marriages today are perhaps begun on the dance floor and ended, I don't need to go into that. You know the conditions in the world today. How could a marriage survive that begins with liquor? How can a marriage survive where there's no thought of the will of God at all? Now, unsaved people, for the most part, are in rebellion against God. Well, they may be religious, but wherever the will of God touches their lives, they flare up. They don't want God interfering with their business. They're not about to pray that the Lord will guide them into this. And there are some Christians who are disobedient about these things. The unequal yoke, for instance. We're plainly told, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that Christians are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A Christian has no business marrying an unsaved person. I remember an old Scotchman saying to us when I was a boy, if you marry one of the devil's children, you'll have trouble with your father-in-law. And so you will. And there are many Christians who have made the mistake of marrying just as they please without any prayer about it. Oh, but they say, he's a Christian or she's a Christian, so it's all right. But it may not be. It may not be God's best for you. I'm talking now to young people who have not yet entered into marriage. If you want your marriage to survive, let it be a marriage like that in the second chapter of John, where the Lord Jesus was invited. Take him into your plans. Pray about it. Whatever you do, don't marry for money. You'll earn every cent you get. Marriages are not on a good foundation when there's monetary consideration. Another reason why so many marriages break up is because there is an unwillingness to bear children. Children are not wanted. They want all of the joys and pleasures of marriage, but they want none of the responsibilities. Both the husband and wife want to work so that they can be a two-car family and have everything that wealthier people have. And their marriage is not Bible-based at all. But now, these are some of the reasons for divorces. You can think of a good many others. Invariably, it seems to me, a marriage cracks up because it was not a marriage in which God had any part. Or if it was, it was a marriage in which God was forgotten. Christian people get away from the Lord too, you know. They become selfish, self-centered, and they forget that God has a plan for them. Now, there is a cure. Perhaps I'm talking to someone just now whose marriage is about to break up. There is a cure. And the first thing is to be willing for God's way. But you say, I don't know anything about this. I'm not even a Christian. Well, are you willing for God's way in your own life? Are you willing to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? I have nothing to offer you if you want to shut him out. If you shut him out, you'll very likely be shut out of everything that's good here, and you certainly will be shut out of heaven forever. You don't want to be shut out. You don't want to shut him out. And the thing to do is to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Bow to him and accept him as the one who died in your place on the cross and rose again. Thank him that he did that for you. And then believe him that because he did that for you, he's willing to do all these other things for you. I'm not talking about joining the church or getting baptized. I'm talking about a personal acceptance of Christ. Then the second thing to do is to seek guidance from God's Word. If you're already a Christian, how about turning to the Scriptures and finding out what God's plan is for you? And then when you see that you have missed His plan, be honest enough to acknowledge, Lord, I have sinned, I have taken my own way, I have departed from the path that Thou hast laid out for me, and I confess it as a sin, and I want to do thy will. Married couples will do well to read and pray together. Now, it isn't always easy to get both husband and wife willing to do this. Perhaps only one now is listening to me, and you may find it difficult to convince your mate that this is right. But if you can, turn to the Scriptures together. Ask God to show you his will. And pray about these things. 1 Peter 3:7 says that your prayers, plural, your prayers, be not hindered. The family that prays together stays together. Now, there are some cases of disagreement among husband and wife where no principle is involved. Each one should be willing to yield. Stubbornness and self-will juvenility, that is a childishness that makes you want your own way, will never allow for any talking the thing over quietly. Not loudly, but quietly and privately. When you find that you can't talk without getting angry, better to quit for a while. But if you talk these things out quietly and privately, you really love this one to whom you're married, you'll find out that oftentimes you can give a little and find the other one just as willing to give a little. Give each other the right place. So many wives in our country are not willing for their husbands to be the head of the house. This is God's way. And you'll find that it works. The husband is the head of the wife, according to Ephesians chapter 5. But the wife is not to be a slave. The husband is not a boss. The husband is to look after his wife and to care for her, even as Christ cared for the church. And this is love far beyond anything to which we as husbands ever reach. We should give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. We should be kind and gracious and loving and helpful. All of these things the Lord tells us as Christians to do. Now, if you're not a Christian, that's the first thing. Come to Christ. Acknowledge your sin. Get the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And then ask Him to help you to straighten out your marital problems. Our Father, we pray for all those who are facing problems such as this just now. We pray for the many who have already had their lives harmed and damaged by this and for the poor children who suffer thereby. Give us thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.